Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John chapter 17. Jesus is about to be arrested and abused and nailed to a cross. And he's been speaking to his disciples in order to prepare them for what is coming. Now in chapter 17, he prays. And he prays for us. This is God's word. After Jesus had said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself so that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Today I'm going to start out with the main point. Eternal life is the relational knowledge of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Where do I get that? Well, Jesus said, verse 3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." Eternal life is the relational knowledge. What do you mean relational knowledge? Well, every now and then I hear about somebody who used to be a Christian and now they're not anymore. In fact, they're not sure they believe in God. And so then the question comes up, well, were they ever really saved? Well, if they continue in that, the answer biblically is no, they were not. The Bible says they went out from us because they were not of us, because if they were of us, they would not have gone out from us. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 that there will be many who will say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do this? We did all this for you. We did this in your name." And he says, "I'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you." Not you lost your salvation, but I never knew you. You never were one of mine. The Bible talks about people who turn away as being like a dog that returns to its vomit. You know why the dog does that? Because it's a dog. And so Jesus talks about a kind of knowledge here that they might know you, not just know about you, that they might know you. It's a relationship. It's not just theoretical, it's personal, it's experiential. Now, it includes an intellectual component, and we'll see that here in these verses. But it's not just believing certain things. You know who has excellent grasp of doctrine, Bible doctrine, and even Bible verses? The devil. The devil never sits around wondering if there is a God. The devil never sits around wondering if the Bible is true. He knows it is. He doesn't wonder if Jesus is Lord. He knows it is. The devil doesn't wonder if hell is real. He knows he's going there. The devil doesn't wonder if the miracles really happened. He knows they did. He knows that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not enough to know the information. It's not even enough to believe that the information is true. Eternal life is about a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, where you are trusting in him. Look at how Jesus describes it. He says, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him." To whom? To those you have given him. Remember what Jesus said earlier? "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Now, there are tons of people today in churches who absolutely hate that truth because it seems un-American. You know, the idea that God would choose to save some, well, that's not right. You're sounding like one of those reformed people. Well, I hope I'm being reformed. I hope I'm being changed and brought into conformity with what God says. We're not saved by believing the right stuff, even about Reformed doctrine, but If we're going to believe what the Bible says, we ought to believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says he chose us. Well, I thought the Bible says, whosoever will may come. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. In fact, God issues a gracious invitation. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you know what the universal response of unsaved people, like all of us used to be? You know what the universal response of unsaved people is to God's gracious invitation? No, not interested. No, no, not happening. Not me. I want to be my own boss. I want to do my own thing. I want to have it my way. The Bible says, as long as you continue on that road, you're doing what everybody else is doing. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many travel on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Few people find it. Wonder why. Are those of us who are saved just smarter than the others? No. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Not, but now I figured it out. I was lost and the shepherd came and found me and rescued me. I was blind, but now I see. What happened? He took the blinders off my eyes. He gave me the capacity to see. It was verse 2 of that great old hymn say, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. God is the one who in mercy brings us to an awareness of our sin, like he did Wesley, and causes us to say, oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That is the work of God. That's why Jesus said in John 3, unless you're born again, you can't even perceive the kingdom of God. You can't see it. Blind to it. So you mean the only hope for anybody to get saved is God's grace? Yeah, absolutely. So the only way a person is born again is to be born of the Spirit? I thought I had to believe in order to be born again. No, you have to be born again in order to believe. Go back and reread John 3. God is the one who saves, and that's why we need to be saying to him, Lord, I owe you everything, because guess what? We owe him everything. So, Jesus says that we are chosen, verse 2, and that we're chosen in love to know who he is. Look at verse 5. This is a very important verse. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. There are people who say that Jesus isn't God. They obviously don't believe what the scripture says. There are also people who believe that Jesus became God. They don't know what the scripture says. They don't believe what scripture says. Jesus here, talking with the Father, says, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began. What? John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and lived among us. God became one of us. That's astounding. But that's essential to knowing him. What I hear again about people who say they used to be Christians, but they're not anymore, well, no, I'm sorry. You weren't. You may have thought you were, but you weren't. If somebody tried to tell me that God doesn't exist, they might as well try to tell me that I don't exist. I mean, they're speaking nonsense. Not only is it the fool who said in his heart there is no God, but I know God. I don't just know about God. I haven't just weighed the evidence and come to the conclusion that there is considerable probability that there is some cause for the universe. I have weighed the evidence. I enjoy apologetics. But my faith doesn't stop with a probability. I have a relationship with God. I talk with Him. He talks with me. And He answers prayer. I've seen over and over and over and over and over God displaying His power. So the idea that somebody could persuade me that He doesn't exist, that's insanity. I would have to be insane not to believe in God. But we're chosen and we know who He is, and verses 6 through 8, look at what these folks did. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they've obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you've given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. What's the characteristic of a person who's saved here? They've accepted the word of God and believed it. And they knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. There is an intellectual component to this. It's not just I just try and get centered and I feel God and that's how I know. Go to His Word. Jesus is talking about people who received His Word, they believed it, and they obeyed it. Verses 6 through 8. One of the consequences of this, verse 13, is that those who know Him, who have eternal life, have joy. Even in the midst of suffering, there's joy. Even when things don't go the way that we would plan or desire, there's joy. There's joy. Why? Because God is God. And all our troubles are temporary, and I'm looking forward to what He has in store. I trust Him, and therefore I have joy, verse 13. Verses 14 through 19, Jesus talks about being sanctified. What does that mean? Set apart. We're not of the world anymore. When you are born again, when you receive God as your Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God comes to live in and through you, and as a result, your life begins to change. You don't fit in with the world anymore. Why? Because the world is rushing down the broad road toward destruction, and you're no longer on that road. You're going in the opposite direction. You have come to repentance. What does that mean? It is a change of mind that results in a change of direction. Metanoia, change of mind. If I change my mind about the direction I'm going in, I don't keep going in that direction. Amen? And so if you're on the narrow way, you're headed in the opposite direction. So those who are in Christ are not of this world. Jesus goes so far here as to say, they are not of this world just as I am not of this world. Would you say Jesus was otherworldly? So are real Christians. Sanctification, holiness, verses 14 through 19. Then a part of that is that we are on mission. Look at verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. For as for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone, verse 20. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Their message, what's their message? I'm telling people about Jesus. Because there are tons of people who are walking around carrying enormous burdens, having huge questions, and they feel like there isn't anybody they can talk to about it. I love pulling up to the pharmacy. This is back when I was going to a different store. Pulling up to the pharmacy, and they said, could I ask you to pray for so-and-so? And another person in the background said, would you also ask him to pray for this person? Why? Why do these people want me to pray for them?
Because I have a special connection with God.
No, he's my father, okay? He's my father. And they've seen God answer prayer. So see, I want them to become my brothers and sisters so that they will know they don't, I mean, I'm happy to pray for people, and I ask people to pray for things that concern me on occasion. But let me tell you, I want us to go talk with Dad. Jesus teaches us to call him Abba, Father. That's the word like daddy, okay? Because the whole idea here of the good news is that God loves us so much, he sent Jesus to save us. So we go out then on mission. That's what Jesus says about us. But another thing that he emphasizes here, especially verses 20 through 23, is we are to be united in love. He wants us to love each other. Do you remember in the previous chapter and in the chapter before that? How he's telling us that we're supposed to be loving one another? This is my commandment, that you love one another. This is how the world is going to know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. This is how the world is going to know that Jesus was really sent by the Father, if we love one another. Our job, what am I supposed to do? Love one another. Okay, well, what does that look like? It's sacrifice. Okay, remember we talked about changing diapers, that kind of thing? Being willing to do whatever needs to be done, pay the price that needs to be paid in order to help others. We're supposed to love one another. Love one another. And the result is unity. It's a unity not based on everybody always seeing everything the same way, but based on loving people even when we disagree. We're even supposed to love our enemies. All right? We certainly don't have to agree with them, but we need to love them. And we need brothers and sisters to love one another. That's what Jesus says he's looking for, that he wants from us. And I've got to tell you, I think one of the most amazing verses in the Bible is verse 23. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. He doesn't just mean you love them too. He says that God the Father loves us the way he loves Jesus. Does that blow your mind? That blows my mind. I can understand how he'd love Jesus. Jesus is perfect. Jesus never sinned. Jesus always did exactly what the Father said. He went to the cross to pay for our sins. So sure, the Father loves Jesus. But the Father says, the reason I sent him is because I love you like that. And I see you robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm saying, oh, what about all the other stinky stuff? He says, that's all washed away. It's all washed away. Your past, gone. Your failures, gone. God sees us in Christ. And therefore, he sees us as beautiful and holy. That's amazing.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.